Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has finally come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new humanity, one new species of being, one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah, but he says you don't have to go to heaven to be red hot for the Messiah, but it sure helps, Dean, doesn't it?
It does.
I'm speaking to Dean Braxton. And Dean, on May 4th, 2006, his heart stopped. And he was what is called in prolonged cardiac arrest for 1 hour and 45 minutes. He had an experience with Jesus, with God the Father. He went to heaven. Doctors have said that he died. Now, Dean, on yesterday's broadcast, we talked about some of the first people that you saw when you went to heaven, and the first was your grandmother. And your grandmother wanted to make sure you did something when you got to Earth. What was that?
Well, after Jesus had told me the third time to go back, it's not your time, go back. This is what my grandmother said.
But wait a second. Did you have a choice? I hear many people I interview have a choice. Was there a choice in your life?
I grew up in a military family. I went into the military myself. I wanted to do what my Lord wanted me to do. And you could say I had a choice, but I wanted to follow his directions. I was with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he was saying, no, it's not your time, go back, I felt like a soldier that was saying, yes, sir, and left.
But did you want to go back?
I did not want to go back. If he would ask for volunteers, that would have been a different story. You know, I wouldn't have volunteered. I wanted to stay.
But weren't you concerned about the people you left on Earth?
You know, one of the things I tell people, everything is right there. It's past peace. It's that, like the Bible says, peace past understanding. It's in that realm. And I wanted them to come there. I wanted them to be with me there. You know, we would never be separated ever again. You know, we were not meant to be separated as family. And I came to understand that they would come there. We would never be separated ever again. That's, you know.
So God is really, interested in the family.
And he's very much interested in the family. And for me, that was a box that was blown apart. If you would have asked me before this happened, if I would have recognized my family there, I would have said maybe, so. I didn't really have that down inside my belief system. And so when I got there and I recognized my family, and not just my grandmother, not just my Aunt Barbara, as I talked about earlier, but also some other relatives that I knew, and even relatives that I didn't know, they were generation after generation of those that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior came literally to greet me into heaven.
Out of curiosity, do you know how many generations back?
I don't. It was a multitude. It was a multitude, you know.
Okay. What did your grandmother want you to tell us on Earth?
And well, my grandmother said to me a couple of things. The first thing she said when Jesus was saying that to me, bring as many of us back with you as you can. She meant for me to go back and minister to my own family. I have three brothers.
Bring as many of your family members that are not saved, get them saved. That's what she was saying.
Yeah, that's what she was saying. Bring as many of them back with you. My mom was born again, but I didn't know about the others, so I concentrated on them, plus other relatives, family members on both sides, my wife and mine, to make sure that they really have heard what about Jesus Christ. The other thing that she said is, and Jesus also emphasizes, so both of them, this is not your home. This earth is not your home, you know, and that you have to get that thinking out of your head that this is where it ends at. It doesn't. like you said earlier, you know, there comes a time when we will shed this body and that we will either go to hell or we go to heaven. And my grandmother wanted me to really emphasize, along with Jesus, that this is not your home.
Why were you sent back? To get the rest of your family saved, but why else were you sent back? Why wasn't it your time?
You know, I really believe that I was sent back to do what everyone else that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is supposed to do, what you're doing on this radio program right now, what you're doing in your life, and that is to let other people know about Jesus as Lord and Savior so that they have that opportunity to make that choice of where they want to spend eternity, because it's eternity. Most of us think it's going to end. It will never end. You will either choose one way or the other, but either way, it's eternity. You will be there for eternity, for, you know, forever, you know, and that's hard for us to realize sometimes that this life doesn't mean that we're going to go on and then we're going to do another life and then we'll end that life and we'll go do another life and we'll end that life and we'll go do another life. Once you're done with this one, you move on to the next one, and that's for eternity, period. And I really believe what Jesus has sent me back to do, and I've had the opportunity now to go all over the place and out of the country, is to share this testimony, to share what Jesus Christ has done so people will know there is a place that is set up for those that know him as Lord and Savior, that they will be there for eternity. And that place is alive. It's not dead. And what I mean by that, it's life there.
But one of the things you talk about in your book is everything you saw in heaven was alive.
Everything.
Explain things that were alive.
Everything is alive. You know, the flowers are alive. And what I mean by they're alive, they can communicate with you and you can communicate with them. They're intelligent. The trees were alive. The water was alive. To me, it had some of the best personality I ever seen. It seemed to have a joyful personality of fun all the time. You know, the water there. The throne of God is alive. The altar. You know, even the Bible says in the scriptures that the altar spoke. The atmosphere. Woo. Even talking to you, thinking about it.
Oh, I'm feeling what you're feeling right now. Maybe not as much, but I'm sure feeling a lot of the presence of God.
Well, I'm telling you, the atmosphere, you know, one of the greatest things that happened is I was there when people were born again. People on this planet, when they got born again, and I've shared that with people sometimes, and one of the greatest things that happened was that every time someone accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that their name is literally shouted across all of heaven. I mean, if we could really understand...
One individual it affects what's going on in heaven?
That's right. Every, you know, everybody. And it's just so awesome. I was there when people were being born again, and you could hear their names being shouted across the atmosphere, you know, like someone announcing and the celebration that would take place. It was just something that it's hard to even put into words. But every time that I know that someone accepts Jesus Christ when I'm talking to them, that even on this radio program right now, someone is listening to this broadcast and they accept Jesus Christ during the moments that we're talking, right now their name is being announced in heaven.
How important was it to Jesus that people have their name inscribed in the Book of Life?
Well, all of heaven is focused on that. That's how important.
So when it says in Scriptures, he who wins souls is wise. You really understand it from heaven's perspective now.
Heaven's point of view, yes.
Now, I know what the scriptures say, but what happens to someone that's won a lot of people to the Lord in heaven?
What happens to them?
Is there rewards?
You know, there are rewards, okay, from our point of view. And I say from looking from here, there you're just glad that you're with Jesus. You know, you're serving him. You're in his presence. That's the greatest reward. I remember being there and literally seeing others that had gotten their crowns. And you got to understand, everything's alive. Even the crowns are alive. And yet I saw them put those crowns down because they were with their Lord. They were with Jesus Christ. And it was like, what else could be greater than being with the Lord? You know, there's nothing greater than that.
Talk to me a little bit more about the love you felt coming from Jesus.
Well, the love from Jesus, like I said, it was when I was in his presence, someone asked me one time, did he hug you? I said, his presence hugged me. The light that was, he's brighter than the noonday sun, as even the Bible says. But the light comes off of him in waves, like I say, waves coming off the ocean, and they just wrap around you. And yet there's a rainbow colors, more colors than I could describe, and they're a lot, and they wrap around you, and you just experience the love of God beyond anything you could imagine. I think you come close to it when you're praying, and the presence of God is with you, and it's like you do not want to stop because you know how much he loves you. You can't put it into words, and if you try to describe it to someone else, you just become way short. Well, that's what I experienced all the time there.
Did you see angels in heaven?
Yes, there's a multitude of angels. I came to understand the thing that really got me about the angels there in heaven is the respect they showed for Jesus. They did not turn their back to Jesus at any time. I mean, it was just they bowed and they would back away from Jesus. They showed him great respect.
And now, before you went to heaven, you had a visitation from an angel two times. Now, have you ever seen this angel since that time?
Since that time, yes. That angel plays a big part in my life right now. As I tell people, I have a multitude of angels with me. So whenever I go anywhere, I know that the multitude of angels that are with me, they come along. We see a lot of things happen because of that understanding of my responsibility in the kingdom.
Dean, our time is slipping away, but I urge you to get his book. It's called In Heaven, Experiencing the Throne of God. It is, without a doubt, the best description and the best biblical understanding and experiential, and the two line up because he has the scriptures in the book of what heaven is like. And God downloaded within him so much information about heaven that he's putting in this book, but he's also going to, we're going to make the CD of this radio interview, we're going to make it longer, and we're going to put a lot of information that's not even in the book. If you just understand what happens when you pray, or you understand how the angels operate, we're making the CD and the book In Heaven available for donation of $22. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.